Welcome back, folks. We've talked about this subject matter quite a bit, and even most recently, we spoke about the crime lab and the DNA lab and the utility of SAME as being one of the most important tools for law enforcement in helping investigate crimes within their community. And joining us this morning is Leslie Harris, councilwoman for the New Orleans City Council, as well as Nick Gernon, the deputy superintendent with NOPD. Folks, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
So, Leslie, we'll start with you. We continue to move forward. I know you've been taking a leadership position. You've been out front on this issue with the DNA lab in particular and the crime lab as well. If you would, an update as to where we stand at the present time.
Sure. So right now we've cleared essentially the backlog of major crime kits that were sitting at the state lab by outsourcing. And what we did was the past council dedicated $3 million to clearing that backlog along with state money through Representative Landry and then Vice President Moreno. So we've dedicated about $4.3 million on clearing that backlog. And that's where we are right now. But that $3 million of city money has been exhausted, and the $1.3 should get us through the end of 2026. That's why it's so important that we get our own DNA lab up and running.
And Nick, I know most recently there was some reporting of some troubles with the construction of the crime lab building. More importantly, I think the floor that maybe the DNA lab is going to be hosting on. What are your concerns relative to that? And do we have a remedial plan in place to address same?
Yeah, so we know that when we built that lab, we needed to spend that FEMA money or we would have likely lost it. So there was a decision, conscious decision made by the last administration to move forward with getting a building up. But we have since brought in a forensic architectural firm who has indicated to us that we're going to need to do some renovations to that floor to get it in line with our current standards and practices for a DNA lab. And we are currently working with our council and with the administration to, you know, work towards finding funds for that, because this really is a three-legged stool. This is personnel, this is equipment, and this is the facilities itself. And through Councilmember Harris's work, we now think that we have all these slots needed for personnel. We need to hire them, but at least they're allocated. And our next big lift is to make sure that the facilities are in the proper order.
Yeah, Leslie, I'm sure you know more about DNA than you ever cared to know about DNA, but... But the reality is, and I think both of you could talk about this, getting accredited in the DNA world is not an easy task.
It isn't. And that's exactly what Nick just said. We need to make sure that we are staffed up properly and get that staff trained. Dr. Shamika Kelly is an expert in this, and she's the one who's heading the charge. And so I'm really taking my cues from her as to what staffing we need and then what we need to do as far as upgrading our facilities. The good part about the facilities is that they're located in District B, as are many municipal buildings. And so there's some capital outlay funding that I have that can go towards getting the DNA lab up and running.
Yeah. And Nick, I guess y'all are still utilizing the state police lab. Are y'all utilizing independent labs for DNA testing as well or no?
Both. So we send up all of our evidence, sexual assault kits, bulk evidence, all the various things that need DNA testing to the state police. They screen it and decide whether to outsource it, which is what the majority of what they're doing is, through this $4.3 million that the councilwoman got us a few years ago, or if it is something that is a priority need, you know, a very emergent case, they'll keep it in house and test it faster and get it back to us faster. But the majority of our things are going through state police for initial screening and serology and then outsourced to outside labs, which brings its own challenges.
And, you know, it's if you would, Nick, for the benefit of the listening audience, DNA plays a real important role, not only in ruling people in, but ruling people out, right?
Absolutely. And look, we started seeing, 10, 15 years ago, all of these exoneration cases, and many, many of them were based on DNA evidence. So our juries, I think, are smart enough to know that they're going to want more than just an eyewitness identification. They're going to want to see evidence. And our gold standard is DNA, followed closely by digital forensics, as you know. But DNA is what juries are looking for when they're saying, I want to see some physical evidence there. We still use tried and true fingerprints. We still use other pieces of physical evidence, ballistics, narcotics testing. But when the opportunity to test DNA presents itself, a jury wants to know, what did you test and what did it result? What did it tell you?
But you have to admit, you guys aren't able like to get the DNA out of the air, right? Just kidding. Because
it is,
you know, so
the steel, that's correct.
The public's expectations sometimes as to DNA in the collection is same. It is not that much greater proficiency than a fingerprint, quite frankly, right?
Correct. But you know, like 30 years ago, we could only test a big pool of blood, and now we're testing touch DNA on a regular basis, and we are able to get the cells out of, if somebody reaches into your back pocket to steal your wallet and you're wearing certain materials, there's a good opportunity for that person to deposit their DNA in your back pocket. So we know that the technology is getting better and better. The technology of 2005 when we lost our lab is obviously exponentially better than it was when we last had a DNA lab. So we're making sure that we are supplying and training the lab of 2026 and the 2030s, not the lab of 2005.
The other areas of the crime lab, will they be able to move into the new crime lab building, or have they moved into the new crime lab
they're there.
Building?
Yep, they're there. Okay, and they were all recently fully accredited. So for years, we had partial accreditation. When I was at the lab, we had accreditation in advanced forensics, not including DNA, ballistics, firearms. Now we have a full accreditation in every discipline, including, and you'll appreciate this, the management system, which identifies risk within the lab, is also fully accredited by the National Accreditation Board. And our next step is to now build a DNA lab, write up the policies, develop the procedures, properly staff it, and then get the FBI and the National Accreditation Board accreditations that we need to be able to supply evidence to trial.
Yeah, very important tool. Leslie, to you, obviously we all know about the financial challenges of the city. When it comes to what may be the additional dollars necessary to get this DNA lab up and running to the fullest extent, what is the appetite of your fellow members on the council?
I think that they understand the importance of getting this lab up and running. I think by their vote on making sure that we could hire up the personnel, they are showing their willingness to go forward with the lab. And look, the $9 million that it's going to take to refit this lab, I think, can come out of bond dollars and some other things that will not touch our general fund balance. So I think there's a really good opportunity to get us up and running. The goal is by 2027. That horizon may be extended, but I do think that within the next 2 years, we will have a working DNA lab. And get this. At a cost that's less than what we're spending to outsource, and plus we can take in other agencies' DNA at a cost benefit to us. So we can actually take in, charge people for DNA testing. And so it can be a center of getting some cash in the door.
And the beauty of having it is when you control it, you make things happen. You're not relying on the third party, right?
That's correct. And we also have to take into consideration the fees that are charged by the people testing the DNA to come in and testify. So if we have our personnel who are testing the DNA, they can just cross the street to criminal court, testify, and there's no associated fee with that. I mean, we're spending up to $15,000 on getting a witness in to talk about the DNA results. That cost will be eliminated once we get staffed and up and running.
And I'm sure that's impacted the efficiency of the court, too. You know, I just had Jesse Manley on from Court Watch NOLA talking about the reduction of the three judgeships in criminal district court, which really begs of, I think, a behavioral change in the other courts to make sure that they continue to work on and improve the throughput? Because it's all about throughput. I mean, it's how you reduce your cost in housing the impact criminals into jail, and it's how you selectively incapacitate the impact criminals quicker, get them to the penitentiary, and that's why you're able to see these reductions that NOPD has been enjoying for a long period of time. It's been a great trend. Hopefully we can continue it.
Yeah, and look, fundamentally what we're trying to do with this is get victims of crime their day in court, to get the accused their day in court. And so if there's some exoneration that happens because of the DNA evidence, I think that's a positive. If someone is going to jail for the rest of their lives because they harm somebody, I think that's important too. So beyond the cost benefit of getting our own DNA lab up and running, I think that there's also a victim benefit of getting this up and running.
Yeah. Nick, final thoughts?
I just really appreciate Councilmember Harris really sticking with this. We had a lot of challenges that we had to face to get these staffing positions filled, and now we're on the road there, and I appreciate her being a partner and moving this whole situation forward.
Thank you.
Leslie, yours?
No, I'm appreciative of NOPD and their efforts, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do in the future.
Absolutely. Sounds like a great partnership. Thank you all so much for joining us this morning. Councilwoman Leslie Harris and Nick Gernon, Deputy Superintendent with NOPD. Continued success on this endeavor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.